Welcome to season 4 of the Fit Farming Food Mom Podcast. Connie is a world champion powerlifter, former bodybuilder, and an elite trainer and nutrition coach. As a movement enthusiast and health nerd, she is here on this show to speak with educated guests and dive into the realm of all things health, fitness, mindset, and everything in between. If you enjoy this show, please do us a huge favor by smashing the like or subscribe button and leaving a review. Now, let's get to the show.
Hey friends, welcome back to another episode. I am super excited to have you guys joining me today. I've kind of moved to an every couple week podcast format just due to finding guests and time and life and all of the crazy things. Getting back on track after a huge powerlifting meet and lots of commitments and coming up with new goals. There's so many things going on out there and I have got to keep up. So I'm keeping the podcast moving. However, backing it down to every couple of weeks for now until I can get caught up with everything because my clients are obviously my priority and then still want to keep you guys in the know. So I'm still keeping these podcasts coming, but they are less frequent than they have been. So anyway, today I'm excited to have Coach Billy Nicole coming on the show with me. We met each other at Swiss and it was pretty funny. You'll hear the story on the podcast episode, but we soon found we had a lot in common. And so I brought her on the podcast today just so that we could shoot the breeze about everything like coaching and being coachable and all of the things in between. So you're going to love this episode. I'm really excited for it. So here is my podcast with Coach Billy Nicole. All right, Billy, excited to have you on the show. Probably should have done it like, I don't know, what were you, like 6 months ago? But, you know, here we are. We are all very busy, and so that's how it goes. But we met at the Swiss Symposium, and it was freaking hilarious because I think the night we flew in, we were in the elevator together at the hotel. And then the next day, we were in every single class together. And by the end of the second day, we were like, oh, hi, this is my name. How are you? I see you're into all the same stuff as me because there was a million different classes. And so then we started chatting and we all hit it off and it was great. So, that was an awesome experience. And yeah, I'm hoping to be able to attend one sometime in the future. It sounds like they're working on all that stuff, but, So when you went, what was your favorite part of the whole thing? What was your favorite class?
Yeah. So, you know, first and foremost, big shout out to Ken Connacton. I met him at the Arnold Education a few years ago. And then just, you know, seeing him come in the previous years and then bringing the Swiss to the US, it was a game changer in terms of education for us. I think that this field in general is lacking that mega. You know, it's really hard to find. It's like, you know, right? We need it. We need to be together. Like you said, you know, we're inspiring each other, meet in the elevator, like, oh, did you see this speaker? Did you see that speaker? You know, and it's just in the wheels start turning. And before you know it, you know, questions are getting answered or you're learning about things that you didn't know existed to bring back and help your clients. And it just unlocks a whole different section of your mind. As a clinician or a practitioner or a trainer, whoever you are going there to just be better. Mm-hmm. And to pick out anything in particular about the Swiss, I would say my favorite presentation was probably Dr. Leaf's presentation because I got picked out of the crowd to actually go up there and do hands-on chiropractic and manipulation type work that I had not done before. Probably wouldn't have implemented it into my practice unless that he gave me the confidence in real time to put in these procedures and with my work. Mm-hmm. And since then, you know, I've benefited a lot of people with his modalities. So him and just countless other people, like you can attest to, it's just you have centuries of knowledge and information there at the Swiss. Mm-hmm. Dr. Stu McGill, right? I mean, Stu McGill, wow. You know, like literally gets a standing ovation at the Swiss. for his years of research on spinal injuries and rehab. And it's fascinating. And again, just little tips and tricks and tools you can take back that really make a big difference with helping the client. So that's just a couple highlights for me. I mean, there's just so much.
Well, and the incredible thing is, like you and I were able to connect, and I was able to connect with so many other people, and there's so many of these people in this space. And the amazing part about it is it's not just personal trainers. We're talking doctors, chiropractors, surgeons, you name it. They're trying to synergistically bring all of it in together so that people can be treated as a whole instead of all of these different sections. And that's what I found when I very first got into fitness and started doing this just as a general population person, was I was like, what the heck? This doesn't make sense. You know, nothing lined up. It was like, oh, you got your trainer over here telling you to do this. You got your doctor telling you to do this. You got your friends telling you to do this. You got, and you're all over the place, right? You're like, I don't know what to do, right? And then how often do you even see currently where a trainer will have somebody just crushing themselves, right? They'll maybe, I mean, I don't know, maybe that trainer is somebody that likes to crush themselves personally, you know? So then they're crushing their clients. Well, how many of these women shouldn't be being crushed? How many of them are already overstressed and have so many things going on? So there's a disconnect. How many people have nutritionists working with them where the doctor is saying, eat less, move more, do this, do that? And then the nutritionist is saying, no, you need to do this. And like, there's another disconnect. And then so you have all these things. So the inspiring part about that community and this kind of movement that is going on is you have all of these people that are coming together and realizing now, oh, your eyeball is connected to your brain, is connected to, you know, like there's all these things that are all synergistic,
The
right?
knee
Like,
bone is connected to the hip bone, you know that song? Like, yeah. I mean, I could sing it for the rest of, if you guys want to hear the whole thing. I'm just kidding. I'm not.
But yeah, so like
But
it's,
yeah, it's a whole thing.
yeah. And so I realized that right off the bat. And that's what I was like, okay, this is where I need to be different in my approach to coaching people because it's not just fitness, it's not just nutrition, it's the mindset, it's like everything, right? It's movement, it's all the things. And so that's what's so dang important about what you and I are doing and what they are doing with Swiss, because how many people do you know that are preaching these things and they have no effing idea what they're talking about? You know, they're putting these people on, you know, 900 calorie diets and making them do HIIT cardio like 7 days a week. And then, oh yeah, they got the results, right? That transformation photo, great. For how long, right? And so that's a huge piece of all of this.
I've been a big pusher. I've been really fortunate with Powerhouse Gyms to have, we had in-house nutrition. We have in-house 7-7 Nutrition. They're awesome. Paulina Petrovich, she's my girl. But a lot of conversations with her from the very beginning. And I said, I mean, I'm a trainer. I'm not a nutritionist. Can I do a diet? Sure. Should I do a diet? Probably not. Even with everything I know, even with competition prep and my medical license and all this, the stuff, but there's something to be said for, hiring the person that's supposed to, that specializes in that piece, right? And like you said, the Swiss is a great networking opportunity for us to meet people to send out for things that, we don't feel qualified to handle. And it's good to do that. It's that's a big problem I see in the training community is trainers overreaching with their scope. And doing diets, doing supplements, doing peptides, hormones, and other stuff, and really jacking their clients up. And that's wrong. It's wrong. And we owe it to people to do a good service to them and just, admit when we've reached the point where we no longer, know how to help them. And it's totally okay to admit that and send them to people who can help them further.
I think,
You're not the end all be all, you're the trainer.
right. And I think that gives you actually a lot of credibility within the health space. I know with me, I have a huge network as well as you. And I see something, if I see something on like lab work, so I personally, I'm a nutritionist and I'm a trainer because I saw early on that I needed to do both. I couldn't just be a trainer, right? And
Different,
so, and then I got even crazier and just continued going down rabbit holes. So, actually, I'm considering getting my CSCS next. So it's like, okay, I've got problems with education, but that's okay. Anyway, when you are outside of that, like I had a case today where I looked at somebody's labs and I was like, whoa, before we ever even talk to each other, you gotta go see the medical practitioner they work with or a medical practitioner. I would suggest this person I feel like we would be very aligned. That way, when you come back to me, we can work together, make sure that you're reaching your goals. And I think that's a
Right.
really important part of that, like, and I'm the very first to be like, I have no idea. Let me figure out somebody who does know. So,
Yeah,
I
yeah.
think that's huge.
Yeah, we're very much alike in that respect. I'm a big, faithful person, and I kind of think that things just kind of organically will flow together as long as you don't really fight it too much. We have a big problem with that, right? The hard things, you're like, ah, I can't do that. Sometimes you just got to fight through that and see what's on the other side. But I started my career path out as a paramedic, working with people that were kind of too far gone and never really been able to make a difference in people's lives, and then got really unhealthy myself. And through this health transformation, I just kind of rolled into the personal training stuff. And now I've been able to fuse my old life with my new life with a medical background, and got my partner, Dr. Max Feinstein, who I consult with for our clients in the integrative health clinic. And yeah, things just like you said, just continue with your education, don't stop learning, fuse all these things together that you learned, and just keep expanding and building on it. Never stop learning.
So you alluded a little bit into things. So that was my next place where I was going. Who are you? Number one,
Yeah, who am I, right?
what do you do, and what got you going into
Well,
this space?
yeah, so I 42, getting to be 43. Super proud of that because I'm in the best shape of my life in my 40s, and I display that badge of honor very proudly. Because it's taken some massive changes and some serious come to Jesus talks with myself to be where I am today. And like I said, I started my career, I was always an athlete as a child, started my career path out as a paramedic, and just succumb to that lifestyle. I know that if you've seen a lot of EMS workers, they're typically not the healthiest people, usually overweight, smokers, very stressed, alcohol. PTSD runs rampant in that field, and so it just gets it's quite toxic, quite frankly. And so I gained a whole ton of weight, had some pretty bad on the job injuries, and so just dealing with my own depression, I started running, just kind of like, out of nowhere. It was all that I could do was just to go out and run. So that was my start in fitness. And I'm like a type A. Once I start doing something, like it just becomes neurotic,
I can relate.
like you. Yeah. And so it went from being running around the block to running a marathon, within a year. And then it was like, well, how many marathons can I do? And well, maybe let's just do some ultra marathons too. And so if you know any runners and endurance athletes, they tend to be junkies on that only, and they do no strength training. So I got seriously injured running. I had to have a pretty nasty surgery. The rehabilitation process from that was not pretty, but it showed me like the new light. The new light was I needed to get into strength training. So I've been in that space now for well over like 6 years. And picking up the weight was like personally game changing for me. Game changing. I mean, I never thought that I could feel as good as I feel, be in this type of health. And just do everything that I do at this age. And I don't think I would have continued doing any of this if I just continued running. My brother said something really profound to me, and he said, with your athleticism, be the complete package. Don't just get, I, he goes, I know you love running, that's great. but you need to kind of blend it all, right? So I went back to school for personal training, and I got lucky, and I actually took a 6-month program where half the day we spent in the gym training each other, and the other half of the day we were, in the didactic portion in class. And that kind of stuff doesn't exist anymore. Unfortunately, COVID put the kibosh to that. So I don't even know a school that does it anymore. So got really lucky to have that. And then, it just from there, things just took off. So coaching runners, doing online training, blah, blah, blah. And then I hooked up with Powerhouse Gyms right after COVID, and started taking in-person clients there at that point. and things just really took off. Powerhouse has been great for me. They built my business in a way that I could never have imagined. You know, I was always kind of afraid of joining forces with the gym and, you know, paying them money for rent and all that stuff, you know, but it's been great. I met, you know, everybody from there since then. So the nutritionist that introduced me to supplement companies and a doctor that I'm currently partnered with. And now I spend half of my day in person training clients. I do remote coaching as well. And I also am the managing partner for our wellness center and integrative health with Dr. Max Feinstein. So here I am using all of my old stuff into my new stuff. And it's great. Yeah, it's been a really great ride for sure. And I know it's not over yet.
Exactly. Like I always feel like that, especially in our space, it's like, what's next? What's coming? Like there's something else. Like I'm like, oh, I need to learn more about this. But I feel like because of the education that you're giving yourself outside of personal training with things like Swiss and like doing the Arnold and like all of that kind of stuff, right? You're giving your A, you're able to better serve people by sending them in the correct direction if needed. B, you have a better understanding of the whole person. Now, we were talking off camera because we've both been on this kick a lot. So, basically, I do things completely different than I did when I very first started coaching. When I very first started coaching, I was like, here's your plan, here's what to do. Didn't think of anything outside of that. Just eat this, do this, you're good, right? Doesn't work that way. And God bless my clients that are still with me all this time later. They still pay the same fee. I've never gone up on fees with the people. If I go up on fees, it doesn't happen to the people that I was already coaching. And bless them, they deserve that because they had to deal with me in the young years of our coaching career together.
Right,
So,
right.
and they're still here, so I didn't scare them off too terribly bad. But anyway, we are seeing some trends, and that is everybody wants to do the fancy thing, but they may be skipping the basics.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm just gonna go right to like the real hot button topic right now. And that is the, you know, Ozempic and semaglutide. Oh,
Yes.
yes. Yeah, I mean, so we sell plenty of it in our clinic. You know, we don't allow people, we don't at least promote people to use it as a vanity drug and long-term use and things like that, you know, just to manage their crappy lifestyle. You know, that is not what that peptide is for. That is for people who are obese and they need a lifeline. You know, they need to get that weight off. They need it. They need a starting block. They need some help managing their, you know, hunger and cravings and modulating the glucose. But long-term use and people who don't really need it, I'm just not a fan. And so that leads me down the path of just saying that, you know, these peptides, supplements, and all this is not a pass to just not try to correct the things that got you to the place that you're in, you know, and the place that you're in is there because of you. Like it was for me when I was a paramedic, I was eating donuts at 4 o'clock in the morning because they were free. And I was smoking cigarettes and, you know, eating whatever, never exercising. And that's why I gained 60 pounds. You know, it wasn't because I was getting old. I terrible lifestyle. We didn't have semaglutide back then. But that's the thing. You know, it's people are like, you know, I want to get on this peptide because I'm ready. Well, are you ready to do the hard stuff? You know, are you ready to structure your diet in a way that benefits you and actually fuels your body and fuels your temple versus just eating whatever, eating junk? My good buddy at Nutritional Frontiers, Jamie Dorley, has a really good saying, and he says, you know, there's junk and then there's food. I mean, there's a definitive line between the two things, you know, and everybody indulges, nobody's perfect. I get it. But that when you really start looking at it that way, it's much easier to start selecting the things that you should be eating versus what you want to eat. So that's first and foremost. Nutrition is number one. Knowing that you're worth it and making those good decisions, improving your sleep, you know, putting the phone down, Don't, you know, sit there with that all night, you know, and scrolling until midnight and then wondering why you can't get up and hit up the gym in the morning. Well, because you need sleep. It's just that easy. You know, sure, there are some peptides that can give you some great sleep, but unless you make a concerted effort to go to bed earlier and shut down the distractions, then that's not going to happen. You know,
Absolutely.
and then purposeful movement. And that's another one, you know, I get a lot of balking from people with because they like, I don't have time to work out. I got kids. I get this. And well, it's all that it's your excuses. And the truth is that eventually you do have to incorporate movement. So why not just try to go for a short walk after you have a meal and like that start there? You know, it doesn't have to be an hour workout. It could be a short walk after a meal, and that's a great start. You know, don't overcomplicate that. So, you know, it's all the free stuff. Drink water.
I mean, but how
Really.
many times do you see this happen?
All the
Or
time.
so, for example, I was recently hired by a former competitor that was using shows as a diet. Not, I'm not going to say not for bodybuilding, but it was a diet, right? And then when the show was done, then the weight came back, and then it was another show was used as a diet. And it was a repeating process for a while. And then by the time she got to me, things were not pretty. Adrenal function was bad, hormonal function was bad, all of that kind of stuff, right? And on the introduction call, when we were deciding whether we were going to work with each other, I said, well, from what I see with your case, we are looking at 6 months to a year before we can consider really pushing for weight loss. And I,
They're like, oh my God, really? No way. Yeah.
And I said, I am happy to work with you. I think that we would be very successful together, but you have to give yourself some grace and allow yourself a period of healing, reverse dieting, all of these things.
Yeah.
Well, like 3 weeks in,
All right.
I've gained a pound. Like it was like, I've gained a pound, right? And I'm like, okay, and it was a constant state of like coming up with reasons like, oh, I'm feeling like I mean, we reduced cardio significantly, just wanted to do 30 couple 30-minute walks a day, right? And then reduced workouts down to less intense stuff, right? I'm like, let's just hit the basics. We're gonna do some 30-minute walks. We're gonna do a couple two workouts a week, actually, full body. And we're gonna allow a period of healing, but we're gonna also allow you to get back into the swing of things because she hadn't been consistently going to the gym. I said, I wanna see us hit all these targets. They were pretty basic ones, reasonable. And then we'll consider reevaluating things. Well, none of these targets were hit, right? Not going to the gym, which strength training we know is so amazing for your metabolism. It's also let puts you in a less sympathetic dominant nervous state than intense cardio. So
Sure.
we get weeks into things, and she's like, I really need to add some cardio because I just feel like I'm out of shape. When deep down inside, it was like, I think it's gonna make me lose weight, right? So
Yeah.
the push for cardio and like all these things, when the low-hanging fruit wasn't being attended to, such as sleep and stress and time management and things like that. So we as coaches can help you so much, but being able to manage the basics and make yourself a priority is a huge thing. And I see a problem with that a lot in parents, in particular, in moms, right? They get the mom guilt going
Sure.
on.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And it's
You know,
hard.
and to kind of back you up and touch base, I think what you mentioned was really important, and that's, you know, you have the two different types of exercise, right? I mean, there's many different types, but let's just split it up into, you know, people are like, oh, I'm going to the gym, I'm doing cardio. Great, okay. And then weightlifting. Well, putting that muscle on your body is the goal. You know, that is the stuff that is going to burn the calories outside of the gym. And that's what I try to hammer into my clients. That is the important thing. The calories that you burn while you're doing cardio is just then. It's not any other time, you know, and like you said, it's putting you in more of a sympathetic tone, which is stressful. And the majority of people, good Lord, especially after COVID, are just super stressed out. I mean, we're seeing like cortisol levels and that are just sky high or really low, super low too. from that, doing excessive cardio or excessively working out or just stress at work or whatever. But so the point is that, that in the moment, cardio is only good for that in the moment, and maybe not even that. But where the gold is putting that lean mass on your body so it demands to be fed outside of the gym. And then that's where you get the changes from. But another thing that we didn't talk about is you need to have patience for that tissue to grow. You know, 21 days of it takes for positive adaptation of muscle tissue. And so, these are seeds that you have to sow to see this garden grow eventually. And it's worth it to do it. But people don't have the patience. So, yeah.
Well, and I will reverse because we'll take it a little bit of a step further in this topic. But I believe that there is a place for some of these GLP-1s like semaglutide, Wegovy, Ozempic, all of those. I do believe there's a place just like you. So people hopefully don't get it wrong that I am dogmatic against it. I am absolutely not.
Oh yeah, no, for sure.
However, I'm seeing it used improperly. And I actually just got done with a conversation with a cardiologist that I work closely with. He was like, and he's very well educated man. I highly respect him. And he was like, well, I do use it in my clinic and I use it in my practice. He's like, but what they are seeing in the research is it is causing large amounts of sarcopenia, which in the end
Sure.
is
Yeah.
making people there. It's not contributing to the health of a person's metabolism, right?
Yeah, right.
So, and that kind of goes back to that same foundation, such as cardio, right? Cardio is great for certain things. However, our main goal is to have more tissue burns more calories. It makes it so that we are more insulin sensitive. It is very, very important. So if these people are jumping straight to the shot and they are
Right.
not actually making sure that they're still getting enough protein in and high quality nutrients and strength training and doing these things, they actually
Yeah.
get done on the shot and I see them gain, and everybody else I know sees them
In
gain a
excess.
ton. Yeah, because now they
Yeah.
went from their like BMR, we'll just throw random numbers out here because we don't know who we're talking about here. But say your BMR was like 1400 and now it's down to 1000. That's 400 calories less a day that you
Yeah.
are burning because of muscle loss. So
Right.
there's a lot of things that are downsides. And so, and you're seeing it, I'm sure, like now in the bodybuilding space, people are using it, right? And you're seeing like women walking into these clinics that don't need to lose weight. They probably just need to increase their muscle mass, you know, to tone up, increase their muscle mass, change their nutrition, maybe work on their stress and lifestyle things. Instead, these women that actually really don't need to lose weight, they just need to change all these other things, are being prescribed this medication that
Yeah.
is causing a downfall as far as metabolic rebound once they decide they don't want to pay for it and they don't want to continue on with it.
Right. Yeah, I'm seeing the biggest muscle loss with our clients, like starting at about the 5, 6 month mark of use. And I attribute that to the because the appetite suppression is mega. You know, that's besides the modulation of glucose, that's how that works. And eventually it shrinks the stomach, and it also, you avoid a lot of foods that you probably, would rather have had, if you're not on the peptide. And so I really try to hammer in on my clients that we will prescribe for is that in the beginning, before the peptide starts to kick up, you need to start putting those good nutritional practices in, and if that includes just bulking up a couple good shakes a day that are like 400, 600 calories, because once you get 4 and 5 and 6 months into the shot, that's probably about the only thing you're going to tolerate. Because sitting down and eating a meal will be the last thing on your list because the appetite suppression is so significant. I don't personally know anybody in the bodybuilding community using that peptide, but thinking about my competition prep and some of the people I couldn't imagine, you lose it so much muscle anyway, getting that, stage lean that I just don't really see that being, good use unless you're just using it to cheat your crappy diet, that you're cheating on your diet, basically.
A lot of it, I think, is the appetite suppression that people are
It's
chasing.
awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Yeah, anyway, so it's an interesting subject that's out there now. I do definitely think it has its place, but again, it's very like morbidly obese people that have significant cravings and things like that. It can be definitely a tool to help them learn new lifestyle practices. However, I don't know that it should be a crutch that should be used long term.
100%, 100%. And I mean, and again, it's not had a whole long track record either. So, even though, like, again, we're prescribing, but I still say that with some caution as far as like long-term use, and we don't really know what long-term side effects are going to be from long-term use either. So, if you're one of those people, you should probably kind of take a good look at your whole situation and take heed to the warning and start doing the things that you need to do to get your lifestyle on track so you can manage a healthy weight outside of the peptide. So, yeah.
So you've been coaching for quite some time now, and we were kind of talking off camera about some of the things that you see that are some low-hanging fruit. We talked about nutrition, we talked about some things like that. Let's talk about things from the standpoint of being coachable. What can you weigh in on that?
Why do people hire a coach if you're not going to be honest with the coach? I always tell people right off the rip, I want you to go home and think about, or take some time and think about if you think you're going to work for me. Do you think that I'm going to be the person that you're going to trust to come to and say, I didn't actually do any of that. Or I didn't follow my diet this week, or maybe just say I'm not going to go into it, but I have some personal things going on and it's really preventing me from getting to the gym or whatever. Like, I mean, just stop, just drop your ego, drop your shame, drop the guilt, drop all that, and trust the person that you're dropping all this money with to coach you. It's ridiculous. A lot of methods with coaching. If you're, in the strength training, if you're using progressive overload or however you're doing it, and then nutrition, this is science, bro. And if you're not making gains after a period of time and your coach is looking at things and the numbers aren't adding up, I mean, it's not because it's a poor plan, it's poor execution a lot of times. And if the person's not being honest with the coach is looking, at least I do, I look and I'm like, what can I be doing to be better here? What is faulted about my plan? Why this person's not getting stronger? And then it circles back to, well, there's a non-compliance issue. But then how do you reach people? How do you reach people? And that is very difficult. And my biggest advice is like when you're talking to your clients is like just ask them right on off the rip, what's your why? The old school, like this was a big buzzword a few years ago. Why are you here? Why are you doing this? What is the thing that really scares you about your life that you're wanting to make these significant life changes for? Or if you put it into context of an athlete, bodybuilder, what have you, why do you want to be the best that you want to be? Are you truly enjoying the work that you're putting in? Like, I mean, what is the thing that's getting you to the gym? Figure that out and don't let go of that, especially on the days when it's 5 and 6 in the morning. You don't want to drag your ass out of bed. You need to hold on to that thing that's going to get you there. For lifestyle clients, oftentimes it's like, I want to age with grace. I want to feel good. I want to keep up with my grandkids. I want to be here for my spouse. Whatever that is, I mean, it just figure it out and run with that.
And I feel that those types of whys are the ones that get people continuing to come back and try and work and develop consistency and stuff. Because I have found that the clients that are like, oh, I want to look good for summertime, are not the ones typically that are executing the plan because the why is not strong enough. It's not personal enough. And so it seems like more of something to them, like they don't know it, but underlying it's more of something that is something that others you think expect of you, right? And so the why is not strong. However, if you're like, no, I want to be able to, crawl on, I got a good story about this, is why I'm saying I want to be able to crawl on the floor with my kids and I want to be able to go for hikes and I want to be able to do all of these things, the why becomes much more meaningful. And I had a guy literally that came to me, it was probably last year, it all blends in sometimes. It was funny. I was on a podcast with Lauren Conlon like a couple months ago or a month ago, and she was like, I was like, oh, well, I think I talked to you last year. She's like, it was 4 years ago. And I was like, oh, whoops, my bad. Time flies when you're having fun. But anyway, this guy, he was like, I cannot thank you enough. He's like, I used to not even be able to get on the floor and play with my kids. And now we can get on the floor, we can run around, we can do all of these things that I was never able to do before. And I didn't realize it until I had it back. So thank you. And it's those little things that are extremely meaningful and more motivating for people.
I kind of joke and I say that, like, I mean, I feel like I've done a lot of great things with clients as far as, like, getting them to improve their life, athletic performances went up, competitions, all this, like, cool stuff. But some of the most meaningful work for me is those clients that they're like, you know what, I can get on and off the toilet without pain. You know, I can, I feel like I can reach my foot and put my sock on. You know, I mean, like, and why it's so profound is because if you've been that person that suffers with back pain so bad that you can't even put your own sock on, or if you've been that person that your living situation is jeopardized because literally you're not safe getting on and off the toilet, and then suddenly you gain the strength to do that again, like, that's a big deal. That's a real big deal, you know, and that makes my job super meaningful. It's a long live the strength to get on and off the
Well, and that's an incredible
toilet.
thing too. I've got many clients, and I'm sure you do too, that are 60 plus, right? I've got a lady that works out with me that's 74, like, and she can deadlift a 40-pound kettlebell for like 15 reps and with perfect technique. And she's like, my daughter saw my muscle the other day. And she's like, my only regret, and I hear this from all of the older ladies, my only regret is I didn't do this 30 years ago. And
Amen.
you don't hear the 40-year-old women saying that. They go, they might stick to it for a while for the most part, and then some of them, they ebb and flow, right? And then, but I'm telling you what, those 60 plus women, they are religious about coming for their workouts because they know what it's like to be in the in-between. And they are now like, listen, my friends can't do this, but look what I can do. When they come to you and they're like, I got my full-size suitcase out of the attic without asking my husband, and they're 70 years old, you're like, yeah, this is good stuff.
And those women in that particular part of their lives, they know how that they felt through premenopause, and menopause and postmenopause with not being active. And then they feel then and then suddenly they feel their body light up, and just their energy change. You know, their willingness to go out with friends, do things, the self-confidence, they feel all these things being restored about them. And they do that, they think to themselves, like, dang it, if I had done this pre-menopause, menopause, post-menopause, that probably would have, maybe I would have saved my marriage. Maybe I would, you know what I mean? Because it's just the hormone wacky-tabacky train that most women ride through those times. It's a life killer. You know, if kids get estranged, things happen because you're just moody and crazy. And the biggest thing to combat that crazy, wacky, tabacky, up and down is working out. Like, I mean, it's the best, in my opinion, natural antidepressant that you can take or do. You know, so
Actually,
you're right. They all realize it in their 60s. They say that. They say that the only thing I regret is I didn't come sooner. You know, that I didn't start sooner.
Well, and I think you probably saw my rant the other day about that, like the behavioral health analysis that they're doing and the push for SSRIs. And I actually have somebody coming on the podcast here, maybe at the end of the month, to talk about polypharmacology and what some of these things, when they are being stacked with each other, are permanently doing to the brain. That's a whole nother thing. But how many people, when they're doing these assessments, they're like, oh, I mean, it got asked to me yesterday because I went to that appointment, which was the biggest waste of my time ever in my whole life. But I went to that appointment, and she was like, well, you didn't fill this form out. Are you feeling okay? Do you have any depression? Do you need any help for that? And I was like, when was the last time they said, okay, maybe instead of an SSRI, okay, What's your sleep look like? What's your life stress look like? What's your nutrition look like? Because so many, what do you work out? Because that's amazing for mental health, endorphin release, all of that kind of stuff, right? So why aren't we taking the baby steps first before we're jumping into these medications that can permanently alter your brain chemistry?
I'll be mean and just say we're a weak-minded, give me a pill society. I hate that. I hope we change it. We need to change it. Yeah, I don't know if you saw that the Andrew Huberman podcast. I can't remember who the person he had on there was, but they were talking about that part of the brain, the anterior mid cingulate cortex. I might have that right. But it's the part of the brain that's responsible for like your willpower and drive. And physical activity actually grows this part of the brain. And they know that longevity in life and that part of the brain being larger are directly correlated with each other. So in sum, you know, do hard shit in your life and you'll live longer, you know, take that step. And being disciplined enough to disciplined and love yourself enough to take care of your temple, go and exercise, feed yourself appropriately, all that, like it's that's hard to do.
Yeah, it's a trained behavior for sure. I mean, how many people make an excuse for why they can't do something instead of how they can? And it becomes a narrative, right? You see this, people do this with food really frequently. They're like, well, I worked out so good all week, or I did so good on my diet all week. I'm going to eat pizza all weekend, or I'm going to have a bunch of beer, or I'm going to do this or that. And then, that's just one rock falling in the whole avalanche, right? Because then the next thing you know, they're like, oh, well, I did that yesterday, so I think I'll do it today. And then it begins to pile up because your mental fortitude becomes weaker and weaker. And that was like a huge part when I started my journey. I was 200 pounds and I was fat and I was very, very active and fat. And the thing that was missing was I was trying to take the easy way out every time that I did it. I would do these 1,000 calorie diets for a month and I would hardly see any kind of results. And then I would be like, ah, well, it didn't work for me. I'll just keep being normal, and I didn't understand nutrition. I didn't understand all of these things. And when I learned all that, it was the game changer. But it really was me looking in the mirror and being like, okay, let's get real here. There's no more fuckery. Like, this is what we're doing. The only person that's going to get it there is you. You can't talk yourself out of it. It is easier for us to take the easy road. So of course we're going to make excuses. Oh, I'm a little bit tired, so I'm not going to go today. Or this is what's going on. I mean, we have to learn to combat that and shut that excuse making down. But the more we allow for it to happen, the easier it is for it to happen. Same goes with the positive direction. The more you shut that down, the easier it is for you to shut that down.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, it's like, you know, it's sharpening iron, right? You know, I mean, every time you strike, it's gonna get sharper, you know, and it's that consistency over time is what's gonna get you results. And I think you brought a really good point about, you know, let's say that we had the weekend and we had pizza and beer. Okay, fine. Get back on the train, you know, stop feeling sorry for yourself or whatever the problem is. You know, you had a weak moment or you had, you know, a party with the family or whatever, you know, and you had some pizza and you had some beer, you know, did you have a good time? Great. So let's get on the horn the next day, get your walk in, get your workout on, drink your water. You know, your first meal is going to be a good one, maybe fast a little bit, you know, and get back on it instead of like just throwing all hell to the wind and, oh, well, screw it. You know, I had a few off-plan meals and now I'm just gonna, you know, derail everything in life. You know, that's just not, it's not the way to do it. You will fail. That's the way it is. That's the way life is. Gosh, you know, I've learned nothing from the wins, but I've learned everything from all my failures, you know, and they say the cliche, you know, don't be afraid to fail. Well, it's true. And when you fail, don't beat yourself up about it. You know, be your biggest cheerleader and say, come on, let's go. You had some goals in mind. Let's get back on that horse and do the thing. Instead of, you know, mentally breaking yourself down and just allowing yourself to go back into those old patterns that aren't serving you well.
Absolutely. I love it. Well, so if there's
So
one
there's
thing that
one thing.
you've learned in this whole process, And there was one piece of advice you could give people. And one, I know this is hard because there's multifaceted. One piece of advice that you think is instrumental in somebody's health journey, what would it be?
It doesn't matter if you hire the most amazing coach, or if you have the best spouse, or if your kids are angels and all the stars are aligned. If that you're not in your own head, cheering yourself on, then you don't have a good platform to spring off of. Like you have to be your biggest fan. You're really that positive self-talk, that inner dialogue in your brain is everything, and it's happening all day long. When you wake up in the morning, you woke up late, you're like, oh shit, I don't have time to get my crap together for lunch and all that. I'm just gonna buy lunch. Hell no, take that extra 3 minutes. Well, I guess you're gonna be 3 minutes late. Make the decisions. Don't allow yourself out of it. That's the biggest thing. Just be your biggest cheerleader. Remind yourself why you want to do what you want to do, and you will be successful. Beat yourself down though. Or allow other people's opinions and whatnot. That's not going to go well. Find the path for yourself and do it.
You find that that's a common thing now is the negative headspace, right? Like the, oh, I didn't
Huge.
succeed, so I'm just gonna fail, or people
Huge.
talking poorly about their body or their health or their, I mean, labels. That's a huge thing I've found lately. Like somebody gets labeled weight loss resistant or with Hashimoto's or whatever it might be, and they're like, oh, I have Hashimoto's, I'm just gonna be overweight, and that's how it is, right?
Yeah,
And
yeah.
so you can either embrace what your label is, or you can turn around and be like, no,
Yeah.
I'm not going for that. We're gonna prove everybody wrong. And I think
Yeah.
that's a much better approach than this constant telling your system that something is broken, because it's not, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the autoimmune disease is huge. I personally have Hashimoto's. And it's not me. I'm not Hashimoto's. And in our clinic, we're dealing with a lot of people with cancer, active cancer, and that's scary. I don't know what that's like to get that cancer diagnosis, but I'm dealing with a lot of people that do. And I see the people that do the best, it's not because they're receiving amazing IV therapy. Well, I mean, I'm sure it helps, and they're working on their lifestyle and their diet and all that other stuff, but they're working on that mental part of it, and they it's not about beating the cancer, it's that we can live with it, and it's kind of an emotional being, and we're not feeding it with stress and that kind of stuff. Those clients are doing very well with their cancer, and the people who are like, oh shit, I'm gonna die. I mean, I have cancer, and they're freaking out and they're feeding it with stress and all that. I mean, the deterioration is rapid. So I think that we have a lot of decisions right here to be made about how we're gonna be with our health, regardless of what your diagnosis is. And another real quick point too is people freaking out about labs. How did you feel when you got the labs done? Well, I felt pretty good. Well, I mean, there's just a couple of things that are a little out of whack, you know what I mean? And not really out of range, or maybe something's high, whatever. Let's work on it, but stay with the moment here, When I was as a paramedic, they told us, they said, treat your patient, not the monitor. It's the same, So treat your clients and how they are, not, exactly what these labs are telling you necessarily. And the same for your client's perspective about stuff. Let's use these labs as a tool and as a guide to narrow down where we need to target therapies, but not as like just, oh God,
See that.
adrenal. It's like, we're not. You're good. You're not, you felt fine when you got your labs done. Now suddenly you're freaking out. You'll be okay.
No, I see that all the time. I see people will have their labs run, and they'll be like, oh my God, I'm panicking. I see this is off. And I'm like, no, I said, this is just knowledge. Knowledge is power. Knowledge helps us move in the correct direction. There's nothing to panic about. Had you have not known this, you would have carried on in the same way that you were carrying on. So now we have knowledge. Now we have power. Now we can move towards the correct direction that we need to move towards. There's no reason to
Right.
panic. This is a tool for our
Right.
toolkit,
Right. Right. Or things not improving, with a rapid pace. I'm like, well, I mean, how long were you sick for? And how long did you have these, biomarkers that are telling us that you're sick? Well, 15, 20 years. Well, man, it's going to take more than 2 weeks for you to feel better. You know, and a big part of what we're doing now, it's like detox, detox, detox. Well, guess what? You're going to feel like shit before you feel better. You know, I mean, and you're going to have some rebounding with things during your detox process and during the process of getting healthier. The body's going to fight that at times, and you're not going to really feel your best, you know. So you kind of got to accept that it's you're got to ebb and flow with improving your health. It's not just going to be this steady uptick of, you know, you're just in amazing fit shape, you know. There's going to be in the strength, you're going to have injuries or down days or days you don't, you know, feel exceptionally your best. And it's the same for when you're just trying to get it right. So, yeah,
Absolutely.
absolutely. Patience.
Yeah. Well, if people want to find you, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, they can email me at coachbillynicole@gmail. And then we're at fusionwellness.com as our website. So yeah, you could email me or hit up Fusion Wellness, and I'll be the person answering the questions there too. But yeah, I really enjoy getting connected with people and doing these online consults to help them, especially with the supplements or, you know, what physicians they need to see or what steps need to be next, and helping them kind of bridge that gap. You know, and just targeting, you know, where they go next, right? Instead of, yeah, it's good work. So,
Well, I will put all that in the show notes that people can reach out to you if they want to learn a little bit more about you. Social media or anything like that that they can visit.
yeah, I have an Instagram, but you know what, to be honest with you, like I'm getting kind of that's a whole nother podcast we could do. I'm retracting a bit from socials. You know, I'm all into this like dopamine depletion thing, and I'm really, you know, and so I'm in front of clients all day long, and then I'm working on the computer a lot after clients. And then so to maintain the social media profile thing for what, I don't know what the return really is on all that. It's not. So I have a personal page, Coach Billy Nicole, that people can see on Instagram, and you'll see pretty much my journey through fitness and to what I'm doing now. But it's, you know, as far as professional, there's really not a lot of information on there. It's just a personal page.
That's a
So
whole funny journey with myself as well. I actually have a work phone number and a personal phone number now because I was tired of working at all hours of the day and night and weekends. And my social media is actually on my work phone, and my work phone does not get turned on before 6:30 in the morning. It does not get turned on after 6 p.m.
nice.
And it does not get turned on the weekends or during any family or social events. So people may have seen a shift in my social media because I no longer am on there all the time. So
Yeah.
it's been very healthy for me and my family, I would say.
Oh, for sure. That the boundaries with that is huge. I mean, I really think that it's to blame for a lot of people's adrenal fatigue and the cortisol issues and stuff. It's just social media in general. The constant, you know, pinging of notifications and information, and it's a lot more impactful than a lot of people are noticing. But I'm taking notice, and obviously you are too. Putting up those healthy boundaries is huge. So yeah. So I don't know, you know, how much more I'm going to be growing on the socials.
I fully understand, and I really don't care on my own personal one anymore. I'm just like, whatever, I will find people, or they will find me if it's meant to be. If not, then oh
For
well.
sure. Yeah,
So,
for sure. Yeah, like at the Swiss. We'll find you at the Swiss.
exactly. Well, it was so awesome chatting with you and
You
reconnecting with
too.
you, and I am excited. Maybe we'll have to do it again and jump on that social
Yeah.
media notation.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely do. Oh my gosh, that's a whole, like, it's crazy. That is a whole rabbit hole for sure.
Well, it has been a pleasure.
Awesome.
Thanks for tuning in. To learn more about me, my online programs, or to inquire about coaching, please visit www.connienightingale.com. And remember, nothing in the contents of this show is intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any illness, and it is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult with your primary care physician before implementing any new health protocols.